everybody. Welcome back to The Common Good here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. My name is Brian Fromm, joined today and tomorrow by our super co-host, Aubrey Sampson.
I feel like I am Aubrey. A super co-host.
You
I like really that title. Are. That's a good
you
one.
You really are, now that
I'll
you've done
that.
It so many times.
Seriously.
But Aubrey and I are thrilled to be joined for the next two segments by the author of an article that I spent time discussing yesterday, what I thought was just a great article at the Gospel Coalition. He's a lead teaching pastor at Community Evangelical Free Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, named Benjamin Verbicek. Benjamin, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, the way we love to start these interviews is just give you a chance to introduce yourself to our audience so they can get to know you. So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah. Lead pastor of a local church and got a big family and a wife I love. I like riding my bike when it's not the middle of the winter as well. the other thing I do, I just started recently, I'm the managing editor for a website called Gospel Center Discipleship. It's not as big as the Gospel Coalition, which you just mentioned, but we try and write good things anyway.
So anyway, Benjamin, we were talking about this article yesterday called When My Church Was Washed with Butter, which I've got to be honest, is one of the greatest headlines I've read in the gospel. Really a solid headline. For those people who weren't listening yesterday, because I kind of read this article a little bit to people yesterday and talked about it and why I thought it was important. Why don't you just give our people an overview of not only what this article about, but really what drove you to write it in the first place?
Yeah, maybe I'll just bring you into kind of the moment that, you know, some articles take 9 months to write and some take about, in your mind, at least 9 minutes, and then you got to do the work to write it. But
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, Saturday night, there was a birthday party at the church. I was there. Kids were playing, running through our sanctuary, and they knocked off, and I was okay with this because it was a birthday party. It was crazy. We knocked off all the tape, the painter's tape that I'd put on the pews. Yeah, I know. And then, which is no big deal. You just toss them back on. And that's, you know, social distancing and the like. But so the next morning, I actually had a week off to preach. And I'm like, oh, no, I forgot to put the tape back on. So, like, it's 5 minutes before church. And I'm throwing tape back on the pews. And I just thought to myself, you know, it's about a year. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Why, you know, I mean, I understand it. This isn't about why we're doing it or not doing it, but it just emotionally what it meant, it was landing on me kind of heavily that a year of COVID church. And so that was the genesis of the article. It was really to reflect on what was lost and to lament that, but then in different ways, what was gained, the hope. And even if they were hard won, and some of them were from the last year.
Yeah, I'm just actually reading your article, Benjamin, and I think it is putting words to what so many of us as leaders and as churchgoers are walking through right now. That it's been a year, and I think we need to pause and just acknowledge that, and like you said, lament, grieve it, and ask God, like, okay, Lord, what do you want to speak to us about the year that we've just had and about what's to come? I think my question for you is, you know, speaking specifically to church leaders, how important is it to put words to lament right now? And how important is it to help our people that we're leading learn to lament the past year we've all walked through together?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's a great question. I was really shaped last year by, I think Mark Vrogop, if I'm saying his name right.
That is how you say his name. Yeah. Vrogop.
Okay. Yeah. Deep, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. And it's a book about lament and just so helpful. But I think that for me was building out categories of what even is lament. It's not just a rant. It's not a throwing words into the void. They are a Christian because the alternative being to give God a silent treatment. So that would be very unchristian. So to speak God, not just your anger, but to actually tell him how you feel, but with a move towards faith and trust. And so you see that in the Psalms of Lament. So I think for us as a church, we're going to even try and do something in the next week or two just to reflect, but both to, again, what the article was trying to do is acknowledge the hard, but the eyes of faith that see, okay, the Lord isn't off the throne. Jesus still loves us.
That's
life
right.
is hard.
That's
but,
right.
And so yeah, as a church leader, I feel like it is important to try and name some of those things, one for my own soul, but also to yeah, just give language to what so many of our people are experiencing, to model what it's like to bring those concerns to the Lord.
Yeah. Good. Benjamin, you talked about, and we feel it as pastors and church leaders, of what we've lost. But what do you feel like you've lost most in the last year, like doing COVID church? What has been the hardest part for you?
Oh, boy. I'll just be real candid. Why not? We're talking to the three of us, right? Just the three of us.
No one's listening. Don't worry.
I came into our church came into COVID era tired. So we were not, we had lost a pastor. He'd moved away actually to Chicago.
Sorry.
Yeah. Bless his heart. No, he's a friend and he left and he's doing well, but that just, we were short staffed for about 9 months and in the process of trying to hire someone right before everything shut down. So what did I lose? A joy, a quickness in my step that was just gone. It was just a grind. And so there was a lot lost and the same things everybody else lost. But what I think I felt it acutely just because I came in so tired already.
Do you think, Benjamin, I'm hearing all the things that you've lost, and I think we can all concur. Yes, we have all lost those things. Do you feel like there have been some gains in the season?
Oh, sure. I think those that are around and with us, which are many, many of our church, there's a love and affection and a unity, for the most part, that is deeper and wider than was ever there before. I think a love for Jesus and the core of what Christianity is and the gospel is. Yeah, we feel that more, I think, than we did before. And maybe we had it before, but because we really had to choose what we were going to rally around and not rally around, and we picked the big things, at least I hope we did, that really, I think, is making us kind of a stronger, the core is stronger and sweeter.
Yeah. Benjamin, we're thrilled you're going to join us for a second segment. Before we do, as we wrap up this segment, I loved in your article, you talked about asking your kids what they most missed from the church. And they answered like good pastor's kids, right? The donuts, the hot chocolate.
I love that.
I really appreciate that. What's it been like for your family? What's it been like as it pertains to church, but just in general? You've got six kids in the midst of COVID. Just what's it been like in your house and in your church for your kids?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. They do miss the hot chocolate and the donuts. and they, you know, my son knows where the secret stash of the better hot chocolate is as the
That's
pastor's
right.
kid. So, you know, what's it been like? I'll put it this way. Like, we had some snow days. I know you're in Chicago. Pennsylvania has snow too. We had some snow days the other day. And the kids were home for several days in a row. Most of my kids in most of the schools that they're at are back more or less most of the time. So it's all that's qualified. But I will say, having them home again for a couple days in a row, like, I love my kids, but it was like, it was, you know, I don't want to cheapen real PTSD, but it was like, oh, wow, this has been hard.
Yes, absolutely. It's been hard.
So we love each other and we're thankful we did some sports this winter and things were normalish, but we're yeah. So I don't know. There's a few answers there.
Absolutely. I think as parents as well, we are definitely feeling that as well. You're listening to Benjamin Verbicek. He is a lead teaching pastor at Community Evangelical Free Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The author of an article that we've been discussing here at the Gospel Coalition called When My Church Was Washed with Butter. And he's also the author of a couple of books, including Blogging for God's Glory in a Clickbait World. Benjamin, I'd love for you to unpack, where's that title even come from? This idea of when my church was washed with butter, some imagery there, biblical imagery. Unpack that for us a little bit.
Yeah, it is a tweak. You're not going to find that line in any version that I know exactly. But it comes from the book of Job. We taught through the book of Job a couple years ago, and the line that just most captured my heart, among many, there are many memorable ones, but it comes from chapter 29, where Job laments the loss of his former life. Mm-hmm. It's in his dialogue back and forth with, I don't know, friends, kind of in scare quotes. So he laments all that's lost. And what I really appreciate about it, and why I tried to link that title in an allusion to the article, is that, you know, Job lost so much financially, but what you find in that chapter is he's lamenting so much more. And I think there's a way to hear pastors kind of bemoan what we've lost, and it can feel like, well, you're preaching to a screen, or mm-hmm. you don't have as many people as want, so your ego's wounded and this and that. And I think what I liked about Job is that it was put to words to me that so much more than my ego wounded was lost. Good things were lost this last year. So that's where it comes from. Job says, when my steps were washed with butter, which I don't even know what that means except to say that something really sweet and buttery goodness flowed all around him, and he lost that. Yeah.
I love biblical imagery around lament, and to think about, life used to be filled with butter. You know, it's such a powerful image, but we're longing for that. We're longing for like the ice cream of God's goodness right now. That's so powerful. Yes. I want to transition a little bit, Benjamin, if you're okay with that, and talk about your new book, because I think it sounds incredible and super important for such a time as this. The title is Blogging for God's Glory in a Clickbait World. Do you want to talk to us about that and why you decided to write this book?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's funny you say it's for such a time as this. I think I'm 15 years late, honestly.
That's a good point, probably, right, about blogging.
so just right there on the cutting edge. So, but I do feel like, though, many people are still writing words online. Like, that's not mm-hmm. going away. It may shift. So it's a book that does more than just talk about blogging, or at least would be applicable to more than blogging. But for my friend and I, John Beeson, and I wrote the book together, and we we're just trying to figure out what it meant to be faithful to the Lord with a calling to write in a world that really wants to, not buttery, but sugary imagery and posts that don't lack or lack content and substance. And so we tried and to really do some of the things I think that would honor the Lord the right content with the right words, a slowness, a desire to edify really isn't going to get as many clicks. There's a way, you understand this as a radio people, that there's ways to talk and speak that would get more attention, but you're kind of got to ask the question, what does it honor the Lord? So we're trying to ask that question, what honors the Lord in online writing, and how to help people do that well.
That's really, it feels really timely.
Yeah, it does.
Wondering your thoughts as you thought about this. You write about writing, all of this that blogs, but then also the rise of social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. This is a really big question, man, but I'd love to know your opinion. Have they been good for the church? Have they been good for us, or do you see them as a net negative?
I'm not going to say a net negative. It's definitely a mixed bag. And so that's certainly what we're trying to wrestle with in the book. For me personally, there's real joy that comes from a connection of people I don't really know, but do know through, I'll just say for Twitter, for example. In many other ways, it's not good for my heart. It's not good for the church. It cultivates, and this is really what, not only in kind of longer form blog posts, but in shorter form tweet, Facebook post, Instagram, whatever, it cultivates this a cynicism, a snark. That is healthy for the church. I don't have the ability to weigh that on a scale, net positive or negative. For me personally, it's still a positive, but I do, as I look across the church, wonder.
I wonder, Benjamin, just thinking about that, if I'm just, you know, a lay person on social media and I'm about to post something and I sense the Holy Spirit kind of going, I just wonder, do you have a series of questions that you ask yourself, or even some wisdom practically that you would give to people? Should I not put this thing out into the world?
Yeah, I think a number of things that I won't be able to probably rattle them off in the moment, but the one that comes to mind is a community of people that you're talking about. So blogging inherently is a little slower because it takes time and it's longer, at least when it's done well. You know, a quick post to social media can go quicker. But I think a community of people that you could ask and filter things through and edit and, you know, and honestly, to be involved in a local church where you have pastors and elders and small groups who can, you say, hey, would you just look at my social media feed and tell me, is this honoring to Christ? Now, that's not going to solve one individual post, but the totality of it, is it bringing glory to Christ or you conversely. So those are a few things. I you know, it'd be nice to have a 5-minute delay button too. But or there's usually delete. And if unless you're like super famous, no one's going to screen capture it. Right, and you'll probably be okay.
Right. That's right. Benjamin, we're thrilled that you've joined us. Let me ask you, as we close out here, your Gospel Coalition article kind of is about the church and the church, hopefully, as we come out of COVID. I would love to just close with kind of your pastoral heart. What's your hope for not just your church, but the greater church as things start to get more normal? What do you, maybe a year from now, and we look back, what is your hope for the church coming up here?
Well, it's hard for me to think big church all the time, but I can tell you where my the thing I'm just convinced it's going to be okay for me to be a broken record for the next 3 months, and that's search and rescue for lost sheep. That's where we're going, because I think about our own church, and I know enough pastors to know it's probably similar, that to say that there were people that ostensibly they wanted to be with us, and I don't know where they're at. And I really feel like if the world returns more normal, and none of us are prophets and have a crystal ball, but if the world returns more normal and people don't also return to church, to me, that's really dangerous. And so what I'm trying to encourage do myself and model, because I want to do it, and then also to model it, but also encourage our church to do, is to be reaching out to those that are on the fringes and just try and lovingly pull them back in.
That's so good. That's such an important word for all of us, Benjamin. Thanks for reminding us of that. Hey, Benjamin Verbicek is the author of Blogging for God's Glory in a Clickbait World. He is a pastor in Pennsylvania at Community Evangelical Free Church. Benjamin, for our listeners who want to follow you and find you and all, you know, all things Benjamin, all things Jesus through you, where can they find you and interact with you?
Well, if you can spell my name, you can find me on any social media accounts. But faninflame.com will also get there. I like to think about writing to fan into flame people's joy in the gospel. So faninflame.com or benjaminverbicek.com or all the other social medias will get back to me as well if you use my name.
That's great, man. This has been really fun, really enjoyable as we just kind of wrestle with these things as pastors. So Benjamin Verbicek, we really appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Common Good on AM 1160. Hope for your life.